My guest at this time is Peter Sepp. He's the Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union, the largest grassroots taxpayer organization in the country. And with four candidates still left in the presidential field, NTU has offered to help out a little bit with its score of the three of the four candidates who spent time in Congress and scoring them on fiscal responsibility. And Pete, thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
First of all, give a wide view of how you go about crunching the numbers, and I know you do this on a regular basis, but as you look over the careers of Gingrich, Santorum, and Paul, how did you go about rating them overall?
Since 1979, NTU has maintained an annual rating of members of Congress, not just presidential candidates who've happened to be in Congress, but all lawmakers. It is the most comprehensive rating available because it includes every single roll call vote affecting federal taxes, spending, debt, regulation, fiscal reforms. If it has to do with taxpayers, we include the vote. It normally amounts to 200 or 300 votes in any given year. The percentage score is based on the weighted total of those votes. In other words, we assign a weight based on the total impact that a given vote will have on taxpayers. So it's a very comprehensive scoring system, and the pro-taxpayer score reflects pretty much how a lawmaker reacts toward votes on limiting government or even reducing the burden of government. Now, we have found that Ron Paul, for example, over his congressional career, has an average score of about 91%. Rick Santorum, about 75%. Newt Gingrich, about 62%. Each score we give also has a grade assigned to it. We've been doing that since 1992. And there's been a lot of interpretation recently, not only in third-party advertisements, but the candidates themselves of how well they've done on this rating as well as other interest groups' ratings.
Well, Pete, let's dig into that a little bit more. You mentioned Ron Paul is well out in front here at nearly 91%, 90.8 to be precise. Your score also includes, just for perspective, the average member of Congress during the time frame that they've been in Congress, as well as the average Republican score. All of them do better than both the average member and their average Republican counterpart, but Ron Paul really blows it out of the water. And on fiscal issues, I'm guessing that's not much of a surprise.
It shouldn't be that much of a surprise because, of course, Ron Paul has made it clear he favors spending a lot less money on military matters as well as domestic issues. So there's no real surprise there. Now, with the other candidates, when you have Newt Gingrich, for example, talking about spending more or spending smarter on defense, some of his scores will reflect that attitude. It's also important to remember, though, that as Speaker of the House, Gingrich did not cast as many roll call votes. Speakers traditionally don't vote on virtually every issue that comes to the floor of the House. So in those years, his scores were quite high, but again, based on a relatively small number of votes.
Pete, as we mentioned, they're doing better than their counterparts, but 62% for Gingrich in an academic world would barely be passing, and Santorum would be somewhere in the middle C's. So when they claim to be the conservative alternative, I guess they're doing better than the typical Republican, but do folks need to take that with a grain of salt?
Well, it is important to bear relative grades as well as scores in mind. We grade this system on a curve precisely because both the average lawmaker's score and the average Republican lawmaker's scores tend to be way below even a classroom passing grade of a C. So in the case of Gingrich, for example, he earned A grades during his tenure as Speaker, again based on a small number of votes, roughly B grades during his tenure as a regular rank and file member of Congress. Ron Paul, well, he earned hard A's, in other words, 90% or more in most cases during his career. Rick Santorum had a mixture of A's, B's, and B pluses, averaging out to a B plus grade. Again, a 75% score, but graded on a curve relative to his peers, an average of a B+.
Pete, I remember talking with you at the end of the George W. Bush administration, how you love their tax policy, not so much on the spending front. Rick Santorum was there for six of those 8 years. How much on the spending side in particular hurt him?
There were problems with the votes that Senator Santorum cast on some spending issues involving the bloated transportation bill, also on earmarks, certain other categories of federal spending. He opted to vote for higher outlays. These are all factors to take into account. And now Santorum says that today he probably wouldn't have cast some of those votes if he were presented them on the Senate floor. That's hard to say. I think the records are an important thing to refer back to, as well as the words that the candidates are expressing today.
The big question, of course, that hangs out there, and he's obviously not on the list because he was never in Congress, but Mitt Romney, he's also claiming that he'll be a conservative nominee, a conservative president if elected. His opponents are saying that he's not. Is there any way to gauge, based on his time as governor or anything else, where he would stack up in here?
Well, the Cato Institute, a nonpartisan think tank, has graded governors based on fiscal trends under their tenures for a number of years. And in the case of Romney, I remember that Cato had given him a grade of C, at least in one of his years as governor. That's probably not an encouraging thing for some taxpayers. But again, we need to look at the specifics of each record as well as what they're saying today to achieve sort of a balanced view of how they might perform as president of the United States.
Pete, exit question. I don't want to put you on the spot, so if you don't know, that's okay. What kind of grade did Senator Obama have? And if there is a way to calculate his grade as president, how would he stack up?
Well, his grades during his limited term in the Senate were not all that great. I believe he received an F grade from us, scoring quite low, below 20%, if I recall properly, on our annual rating of Congress. As president, well, despite some encouraging words on behalf of things like tax reform, more transparency, eliminating some of the overlap in the federal government, overall, his budgetary policy have been tremendously unproductive, both for job growth as well as future deficit reduction.
Pete, a lot to calculate, take in as people in 10 states coming up this next Tuesday weigh in with their verdict and their vote. Is this online at your website?
Yes, indeed it is. NTU, our National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org.
And folks can find out more information there. Pete, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Certainly, my pleasure.
Peter Sepp is Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union. Again, the website, ntu.org. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.